Tisribhischapi Sangvita Yadu Raja Danim Mapturam Nyarudhat Sarvato Disham. Translation. With a force of 23 Akshahini divisions, he laid siege to Yadu capital, Mathura, on all sides. This was talking about Jarasandha, Jarasandha. And he came with these divisions, which are described in the word-for-word meaning, so I guess we should read those. This is quite something there. Okay, so the 23 Akshahini, and in the word-for-word meaning, and it'll describe it, that Akshahini B means each consisting of 21,870 soldiers on elephants, 21,870 charioteers, 65,610 cavalry men, 109,350 infantry soldiers. Vimsaptya, 20 Trishibi plus 3. So he had 23 such sets. In many places, these Akshahinis are synonymous with an army. So Akshahini is really an army. And so there were 23 armies. These were mostly all kings that he had conquered. But what's not clear, and if somebody knows, they can explain it, but I would assume that if you say soldiers on elephants, it may not be that there are, because generally there's more than one soldier on an elephant. And as far as charioteers, there's always a charioteer, but there's also a soldier. So that, I'm not sure. And then cavalrymen means guys on horses, right? And 109,350 regular guys on walking infantry. Okay. Yeah, that was later. He came at the end. And but 30 million is a lot, because this is only, I counted, it's about 2 million something men. Roundabout, depending, that's what I'm thinking, roundabout how many on an elephant, could be less even. So say even if it's 2 million, but he had 30, yeah. Population. Purport to this verse. The numbers involved in an Akshahini are given in the word meaning. It was a standard fighting force in ancient times. Okay. Verses 5 and 6. Nirikshya tad balam Krishna Udvelam ivasagaram Sapuram tena samrudham Svajanam cha bhayakulam Chintayam asa bhagavan Hari karana manusha Tadesha karana gunam Svavatara prayojanam. Translation. Although Lord Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is the original cause of this world, when he descended to the earth, he played the role of a human being. Thus, when he saw Jarasandha's assembled army surrounding his city like a great ocean overflowing its shores, and when he saw how this army was striking fear into his subjects, the Lord considered what his suitable response should be according to time, place, and specific purpose of his current incarnation. Okay, so, purport. The Acharyas point out that the Supreme Godhead did not have to worry about a mortal attack from Jarasandha and his soldiers. But, as stated here, Sri Krishna was playing the part of a human being, Karana Manusha. And he played the part well. This play is called Leela, the Lord's enactment of spiritual pastimes for the pleasure of his devotees. Although ordinary persons may be dumbfounded by the Lord's pastimes, the devotees derive tremendous pleasure from his inimitable style of behavior. Thus, Srila Sridhar Swami points out that Sri Krishna thought as follows. How should I defeat Jarasandha? Should I kill the army but not Jarasandha? Or should I kill Jarasandha and take the army for myself? Or perhaps I should just kill both of them. Lord Krishna's conclusion is described in the following verses, 7 and 8. Hanishyami balam hitad Bhuvi bharam samahitam Magadena samanitam Bhashanam sarvabhubhujam Akshahini bhi sankhatam. Bhatashvarata kanjarai. Magadastu nahantabhyo. Bhuya karta balo jama. The Supreme Lord thought, since it is such a burden on the earth, I will destroy Jarasandha's army consisting of Akshahinis, of foot soldiers, horses, chariots, and elephants, which the king of Magadha has assembled from all subservient kings and brought together here. But Jarasandha himself shouldn't be killed, since in the future he will certainly assemble another army. Purport. After due consideration, Lord Krishna decided that since he had descended to the earth to destroy the demons, and since Jarasandha was so enthusiastic to bring all the demons to the Lord's front door, it was definitely more efficient to keep Jarasandha alive and busy. All credit to Hridayanatha's sharp tongue. Okay, verse 9. Etarato vatarayam Bhubaraharanayame Samrakshanaya sadhuna Krito nyesham badhayacha. This is the purpose of my present incarnation, to relieve the earth of its burden and protect the pious and kill the impious. Verse 10. Anyopi dharma rakshayai Deha sambriyate maya Viramaya pyadharmasya Kale prabhavatak pachit. Translation, I also assume other bodies to protect religion and to end irreligion whenever it flourishes in course of time. 11. Evam hayati govinda akashat suryavachasau matavupastitau sadhya sasutau saparichadau. Translation. Sukadeva Goswami continued. As Lord Govinda was thinking in this way, two chariots as effulgent as the sun suddenly descended from the sky. They were complete with drivers and equipment. Purport. Srila Jiva Goswami and Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur agree that chariots came down from the Lord's own abode by Kunta Loka, the kingdom of God. The faithful devotees of the Lord derive tremendous pleasure by observing the Lord's incomparable technology. Omagana tamaranda shya gananjana shalakaya chaksuramilitam yena tasmai shri grave namaha. Shri chaitanya manabhishtam sapitam jena bhutale svayam rupakada mahyam dadasa isa padantikam. Panchakao patrubhyasta kipasindubhyevacha patitanam pavane bhyo vaishnavi bhyo namo namaha. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. So obviously I read through this pastime a couple of times at home. And it's mentioned in many places, different ways, different angles. So one of the things is Jarasandha. He's the son of Brihadratha. And Brihadratha, he couldn't have any kids. This happens sometimes, we hear about it. And he had two wives, and the wives were given a special, he was given a benediction, this one sage named Changa Kaushika. So did some yajnas and things, and they ate special mangoes that were sanctified. And then finally they each had a kid. And but the, when they were born, there was only half a kid in each of them. So nowadays stuff like that happens where they give some special thing to women, a special pill, and then they have like eight kids. Or so this is also happening nowadays, different ways. So it happened then. And those kids, the wives were just kind of demoralized. They threw them in the forest. And there was some Rakshasi kind of demoness Jara living in there. So she thought that she'd have a little peace, but then she thought, well, these guys are like, it looks like one could be one kid here. So she said, it's described in one place that she thought she'd have a little fun. So she stuck them together and said, okay, see if you put them together like that. And she had some type of Shakti and they came together, and that's Jarasandha. Jarasandha. Sandha means to join. So they were joined by Jara, and then you have Jarasandha. So he had a very auspicious birth. So in several of these verses, there's some things are repeated. Like I noticed just now, this term bara, the bhuvibaram says a burden for the earth, and this is also mentioned by Kunti Devi, bhuvibaram, burden of the earth, in one of her prayers, which I can't recall right now, bhuvibaram. So he's saying, perhaps you have appeared to relieve the earth. Some people say that you have appeared like that. Siddhanta Bhuvibarina, something like that. And so she describes various things in her prayers. Namasye Purusham Prajam Ishwaram Prakate Param Tata Paramaham Sananam. So many wonderful, amazing things given in those prayers. Prabhupada chants the prayers, Kunti Devi. Also, Bharavahantarako, that the six Goswamis appeared as pure representatives of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to relieve the burden of the earth. Well, he is relieving and they're helping him relieve the burden of the earth. And Shri Chaitanya, Kripa Baro Bhuvi Bhuvo, Bharavahantarako. So that's one of the Sadgoswami prayers. Shri Chaitanya Kripa Baro. They're carrying also the mercy Kripa Baro. This word is used again twice there. But they're carrying a burden, but that burden is mercy. So Avatara Varam. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is also the Kripa Avatar, or the Namo Mahavaranyaya Krishna Kripa. He's full of mercy, and so especially his six Goswami followers, they are carrying this mercy to relieve the burden of the earth. So directly Krishna may not be, people are not seeing Krishna, but they're seeing that the mercy is still flowing to relieve the burden of the earth. Krishna's relieving. Another thing here, Bhubara is named again in this verse 9. Where it says, Echararto Vataro Yam, the purpose of my descent is to relieve the earth of its burden, protect the pious, and kill the impious. So in Shukadeva Goswami's prayers in the fourth chapter, second canto. Has anyone read those prayers in the last day, raising? But Prabhupada chants those prayers also with cartels. Very potent with the little cartels, karatalas. So in those prayers, Sukadeva Goswami is giving so much nectar. And one of the things, Namorusha, Namonamaste Risha, Baya Satvatam, Vidura Kashtaya Mahuko Yoginam. Those two lines, Vidura Kashtaya Mahuki. Those who are Ku Yogis, Vidura Kashtaya. He's very difficult to understand. So, Jarasandha, he's qualified as a Ku Yogi. The first line says, Namo Namaste Rishabhaya Satvatam. Satvatam means the Yadu dynasty. Sometimes Satvatam means the Satvata dynasty, Satvatam. He's protecting them. And he's the greatest of them. Namo Namaste Rishabhaya. Rishabhaya, like Rishabhdev means the greatest. He's an incarnation. There's another incarnation, like Kapila Dev. Even Prithu. These are all avatara, yasankhyaya, described in the first canto, that he's appearing asankhyaya, unlimitedly. And here is the original avatari Krishna, the source of incarnation. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is also avatari. Avatara Shah, the essence. Shah Shiramani, Kevala Nanda Khan. Krishna here is giving, saying, I have come to destroy all. He says, Kalosmi Loka Chak Kritpravido. During the Battle of Kurukshetra, he's telling Arjuna also, I am time come to destroy all these persons. So as time, these persons were a little more fortunate. They were directly killed. And Vishwanath Chakravarti, Jiva Goswami actually, in the Gopal Champu, he says, he uses an analogy. He didn't say that he got it somewhere, but it's mentioned there that I saw it. To leave Jarasandha and kill all the others, that he is saying, because actually Nanda Maharaj and all the residents of Vrindavan, they're listening attentively in Gopal Champu to all these pastimes that go on in the earth planet. And there's these two speakers, Madhukanta, Snigdhakanta, they're like brothers, and they're speaking all these pastimes, and all Nanda Maharaj is saying, yes, yes, we want to hear this. Very anxious to hear what happened, you know, about Jarasandha. So many things, but they hear all about all the pastimes. And so I just opened the book to read what Jiva Goswami said, and interesting thing he said was that Jarasandha, less, he is like a crow, and if apparently I haven't tried it, but if you have a crow, he'll attract other crows. I haven't taken a crow to see, but I know that sometimes there's a crow's nest. I don't hear it now. Maybe it's seasonal, but we know in India there are a lot of crows. And the crows are, you know, kaka chuse. They like to eat the bitter fruits of the neem phale. Kaka chuse, neem phale. Kaviraj Goswami says that the crow-like non-devotee. So Jarasandha is the king of the crows. So Krishna was thinking of king of the crows, so we'll just keep him here. He'll attract more crows, then we'll kill him. So he did this 17 times. It's going to happen. Each time is not described. I don't know if we could handle that. If you just read the first one, it's pretty heavy about all the stuff, blood and gore. Whoever's going to read the next few verses will have to deal with that. But it was pretty heavy-duty stuff. And the armies, I mean, described there also by Vishwanath, how the ladies in the palace, they were up high and they could see the, imagine these 2 million, this 23 Akshohinis, it's pretty scary stuff. I mean, right now, just think this, they have this fanatical ISIS guys and they're scaring people. They only have 20,000, nobody knows how many, not that many, but they're scary because they cut off heads and they just don't care if they die or just keep kill people. Just merciless. Maybe these guys were a little more gentlemanly, because we read later when Arjuna, Bhima, and Krishna went to see Jarasandha, they were actually welcomed as guests. And in those days, they didn't just mercilessly kill everybody and devastate the entire planet, but they fought in a way like that. So it was pretty scary, though, when they're looking out from the palace and they could see Krishna and Balaram on their chariots. Of course, they had these special chariots. That wasn't understood by the ladies in the palace exactly. Vidambanena, they're always bewildered. Even the devotees are bewildered. Like Bhishma days. Muhyanti kaveyo pihi. Nahyasya karatid rajan. He was telling Yudhisthira, similar thing to the in the first verse of the Bhagavatam. Even the kavis are bewildered, you know, by Krishna's pastime. Nahyasya, I don't understand them. Like, we can talk about them to some degree, but we can't completely understand how. So the ladies were bewildered to see Krishna and Balaram going in to this huge, 23 Akshahinis. I mean, one Akshahini is an army. And there's 23. And he came back again, similarly. And Vishwanath or Jiva, they described that these were kings that decided, just like the ISIS, they give you a choice. You join us or we finish you off. But these were kings, and they had many. They each had Akshahini or a few, and from the Vindhya, Himalayas, all around the whole Bharatvarsha, and who had to surrender. Otherwise, they will be sacrificed to Lord Shiva. Not that Lord Shiva wants such sacrifice in the form of Kalabhairav, but they would have their heads cut and thrown in fire or nasty stuff. So they decided they would work for Jarasandha. And they also were demoniac. They didn't understand Krishna. So this is what's happening here. Krishna is also describing here in this verse, I assume other bodies to protect religion and irreligion. Here, dharmasya. So a dharma. Stapite. He establishes the dharma. And the sadhus, just like Srila Prabhupada, all our acharyas, dharma stapite. They establish. And the deity also. The deity is also archivigraha, an incarnation. Even this deity is one of the forms of Krishna. Any installed, bona fide murti, as described also in Sukadeva's prayers, murti, namo namasat, buyo namasat vijanachate satam, asambhava akila sattamurtaye. In the prayer, that's the second prayer, but buyo, again, he says, I offer my respects. Buyo namasad vijanachate satama sambhavayakila satta murteye. That verse describes also Sukadeva Goswami's praying, actually, in those 13, 14 verses, maybe 13, 14, 15 verses. Very amazing. If you hear a recording of Prabhupada chanting, there's a chorus. Anyway, it's wonderful to hear it. So in that verse, he says, let me offer again my respects. Buyonama Sadvajana. He who relieves the anxiety, pain of the devotees, but also of the asambhava, the non-devotees, like Jarasandha. Although they're also very fortunate because they're in contact with Krishna. Asambhava kila sattamurtaye. Those who are the asat, they are also... He, by destroying their irreligious behavior, killing them, in other words, he has helped them. This is what Sukadeva Goswami is saying. Salang krishishta bhagavan bachangti me. In his last, one of the last verses, last verse, may he be pleased to decorate my statements. Sukadeva Goswami has this benediction that he could speak the Bhagavatam. But it's very good to get in the mood of what Sukadeva Goswami's mood when in his prayer. Namo parasmai parasmai purushaya bhuyase sarud bhavastana nirodha livaya grihita shakti chutayaya dehinam antar bhavayana upalakshya vartmane. So that's the first verse. And in that first verse he says that Krishna appears in these three forms as Brahma, Shiva, and Vishnu. Vishnu is maintaining to take on these three modes of nature, but actually has nothing to do with it. He's always Parasmai Purushaya, we would say. Therefore, he's completely uncontaminated. Nyujate, in the first canon is a verse like that. The devotees say, I take shelter of Krishna. They're also free of the modes of nature. Anyway, so when Krishna and Balaram entered into this ocean, just try to picture dark clouds of armies, dark with weapons. They have chariots, elephants, as far as you can see. Each one had 21,000 some odd elephants, 21,000. And you multiply that by 23 times, you get a pretty good expanse. It's not just men, but it's animals. And they're spreading out all over the, far as you can see, out to the horizon. What are they saying? They're missing it outside. So, somehow or other, it's described by Vishwanath Chakravarti that whatever fear the ladies in the palace thought that Krishna and Balaram might be feeling going out into the middle of all these armies, this fear was actually converted by their power to just like it's described in Bhagavad Gita, when they blew their conch shells, Kridiyani Vidarayat, it struck fear. That was the smallest. Kurukshetra was actually smaller. Well, it was 23. They had Akshahinis. They had about that many. Considering both sides, there were a lot of warriors there, but it was a big battlefield. Hridayani Vidaraya. Isn't that the word? Their hearts were broken. So similarly, this happened to Jarasandha. He had to put on a front that he was fearless, but actually they became fearful. Krishna and Balaram, are they fearful? They're not fearful. But people were worried, just like Mother Yasoda is always worried if Krishna goes with Kaliya, or he's going out in a pasture, what will happen? The devotees have this relation, they're feeling this, so worried about Krishna. So especially the parental, they're worried, and the gopis are worried that he'll step on stones. Kupadi bir brahmati bir bhavadaya shamna. Srila Jiva Goswami and Vishwanath Chakravarti agreed that the chariots came down from the Lord's own abode by Kuntadam, Loka. The faithful devotees of the Lord derived tremendous pleasure by observing the Lord's incomparable technology and his divine weapons. So in all cases, Krishna is relieving the burden. And there's, if you read in the third canto, when Uddhava and Maitreya were there with Krishna, and Maitreya was about to approach Uddhava, but then he was directed toward Maitreya. But before that, there was a conversation going on. Uddhava was speaking something that, of course, he had all these experiences with Krishna in Vrindavan already, but also in Dwarka, throughout Mathura. And Krishna used to ask him, what should we do? We have this Jarasandha still. He's giving us a problem. Before the Rajasuya sacrifice, Yudhisthira wanted to perform it. And so Uddhava was saying, it was very bewildering to me that he's samasta kama, nijalabha purna, like Prahlad Maharaj speaks in his verses, one very nice verse, naivatmana paburayam nijalabha purna, vididei manam vidishab, naivatmana paburayam nijalabha purna. He's describing that Krishna's need, he's anything, samasta kama, all his desires are immediately fulfilled. He has no need to ask me anything. So Uddhava was thinking like that. And Prahlad Maharaj is saying the same thing. Many devotees in their prayers, they speak like that. But Krishna's acting, here one of the words used, and this is kapata manashaha, not kapata manashaha, but it's another one. But in the first canon, the similar word was used. Kapatamanasha. They appear masked as human beings. So whenever they want, it's not within our control. They can act like ordinary humans. Krishna can lean over and speak with Uddhava and say, what do you think we should do? And Uddhava's, and then Uddhava, he's in, also in the yoga maya, and he says, But then sometimes he'll think, Husky's asking me that. So this creates great affection with the devotee's status. If Krishna is manusha, he's ultimately a man, a human, or not a human, but in this form. Nanyad kinchidasti dananjaya. Matak parataram nanyad kinchidasti. Sutre maniganaj. Everything is strung on him, pearls on a thread. There's nothing higher than me. But those who are rascals like Jarasandha, they're by some bad karma. Actually, after he lost the first time, even though there's huge devastation described there in the next few chapters, or maybe this chapter, the next few chapters, of blood and gore. Still, there were some friends of his still there, and they said, they don't mind this. Actually, this is your parabdha karma. So they knew something, philosophy. And now your karma has come, but it's okay. You'll overcome it next time. So then he became put into illusion again, and he's fired up, and he gets another army. And Krishna smashes the second and third, on like that. So he was thinking like that. His karma is never mind. So in this way, Jarasandha was defeated so many times. A great ocean overflowing its shores. We know that when we sometimes see the ocean, or if you're up in a high place, or mountain, or a hotel, and you look out over the ocean, it just doesn't end. But what to speak, everyone's seen video of the tsunami in Japan. It's scary just to see the videos. I mean, just imagine it. You know, the people there, and it's waves like 100 feet tall or something like that. And then not just the wave, but it's, you know, pulling whole huge buildings down. So this is the analogy given over. And Prabhupada used to sometimes go on the morning walk. He would say, Krishna's power is seen here and just in this ocean. Without Krishna's potency, then this ocean will overflow. Or if Krishna wants it to, then it will overflow. He's pointing out various mystic potencies, like the little crabs and the birds flying. So another one he pointed out is this ocean is so huge. So huge. Or that water is so heavy, but then it's floating in clouds. It doesn't come down. Or this whole earth is floating. This is the potency. Yasya prabha prabhavato jagadandato koti shesheshi vasudhari bhuti. On every planet there's some other type of situation throughout the, and all these universes, that Krishna is so powerful. And Jarasandha is thinking he's an ordinary person. Yakkarnana vijale bhajadisma yoga nidramananta jagadanda sadomaku. Adhara shaktim avalambya param samorti. By his shakti, these universes, what to speak of oceans and planets and few mountains. Big universes are coming. Shesha has holding the universes like mustard seeds. He doesn't even know they're there. So when this Mula Sankarshan expanding into Mahavishnu, and he's breathing, Shrishti Siti Pralaya Sadhana Shakti Chayeva Yashi Bhuvanani. Ibarki Durga. The Durga is acting like it's just a shadow. And Shrishti Siddhi Pralaya, he's creating, maintaining, with no effort, one breath. We're all existing in one little breath of the Mahavishnu. Adhala Shakti Mavalambhasa. Govinda Mari Purusham. Still he's Govinda. I think one of the words here, Govinda, in one of these verses, Govinda Mari Purusham Tamaham. Ishvara Parama Krishna Satyavinamiti Anadhyara Adhya Govinda Sarva Karana Karana. He is the cause of all causes. So although Jarasandha is seeing him as an ordinary person, in fact he insults Krishna. You're a boy, you know, I'm going to fight with you. It's embarrassing. I fight with a boy. Never mind, he just killed Chanora Mustika Kam, so he knows it. Jarasandha knows it. Why is he there? He was so angry. He got these 23 Akshahinis. But then as soon as he comes, he says, you're a boy. What is that? You're a boy. He just killed Kamsa. And Kamsa was a formidable king. Not to insult anybody, but Prabhupada mentioned, I think Vishwanath mentioned, that Magadha is Bihar, and it was mentioned there that Bihar also is, even today, many dacoits flourish there. And speaking of, you know, like, if a girl is born, they, many places in Bihar, it happens all over India, but they mentioned, even if you read it, you know, statistically, they kill many kids. Quite a demoniac element still, as a result of this association with Jarasandha. Prabhupada mentions at Chaitanya Charita that the Biharis, they kidnap Bengalis, because Bengalis, they know many Kayasthas, Bengalis, they're very smart. And Prabhupada said the Biharis are not so smart. Well, Bhakti said, I'm just there. No harm, I'm sure. You know, we have so many advanced devotees from Bihar also, like Radha Govinda Maharaj. But it's known for that also. Due to this, Jarasandha may have been going on before Jarasandha, but especially Jarasandha. So he said, I can't fight with you. And then later when Krishna and Bhim Arjuna came to his palace, and they were dressed like brahmanas, although they were pretty well built, especially Arjuna, and what to speak of Bhim, you know. And Jarasandha was looking at these guys, well, they're dressed as brahmins, so I have to receive them. Akuto bayam. There's that verse Prabhupada used to quote, that even one's an enemy, you have to receive. He has no fear of you. And prapte griham. He comes to your house, you should receive him nicely. So Jarasandha said, maybe I can fight with Balaram. He is stronger. Anyway, we'll see what happens. It will unfold. Janasya mohoyam aham mameki. Jarasandha is a personified Kriya Medhi. Not quite Hiranyakashipu, but Hiranyakashipu was thinking, who is there greater than I? But Jarasandha was at least thinking Shiva is greater. He was worshiping. Like Ravana was also worshiping Lord Shiva to get benediction and Lord Brahma. So they don't know the real position of these devas, but they worship them just to get some mundane thing. Kamais taistahita jnana prabhajante anya devata. They worship others. Okay, so if there's any discussion. Shivakam got his hand up first, so.
So in the Mahabharata, there were 18 Akshahun, so that's over 550 million soldiers who died here. And this is 23, so it's over half a billion, maybe closer to three quarters of a billion.
Yeah, there was a discussion about that several times. If you add up Akshahini, then it doesn't really, it didn't really add up to what you just said, but Prabhupada threw it out. But then later someone said, but Prabhupada, it's not that much. We counted up less. He said, it's just a question of jiro only. Yeah. That was Prabhupada's remark. So whether it's 6 million or 60 million, we've heard both. But it could be, you know, eight. So if you add it up, it doesn't come out to half a billion. Yeah.
So it's stated that Jarasandha assisted the Lord in vanquishing all his demons. And in one of the Puranas is also stated the same thing with Dhritarashtra and Duryodhana. It's stated that they assist the Lord in bringing the demons one place to be killed. So sometimes these demons, in one sense, they're getting a little glorification here. See, like Jarasandha is bringing all his demons together so the Lord can
Vanga. Right. I was thinking if Jacinda appears in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastime, but I have to look it up in the. But yeah, Jacinda, he gets his special mercy. Yes, somebody else? I think John Austin.
You know, there's some detailed breakdown of the numbers of infantry and soldiers and elephants. Now, it would appear that that would be some kind of a Shastric injunction for the optimization of the army.
Well, there's the Dhanurved, and it's probably there mentioned. I didn't study Dhanurved.
Yeah, there's somebody wants any reason for that particular.
No, but I don't know. No, but I don't know. But I'm saying if somebody wants to study the, if that Vade still exists in its original form.
In Dwaraka, the devotees are in the Dasya Bhav, where they know Krishna and Balaram is the Narayan, their opulence is their powers. So how is it that they're worried that Charasandha is nothing for them? So how are they working?
Well, they're not in Dwarka yet. They're still in Mathura.
Oh, yeah, so Dwarka and Mathura, I mean both.
But you know, this will happen after the, in the 17th, just after defeating Kaliyavana, then he transfers everybody.
No, I understand. Well, I'm saying both Mathura and Dwarka, they have the same, am I right?
There's more people later, because he starts taking the 16,000 wives and propagating progeny. But up till now, he didn't have. So he's still like a boy. They're seeing him more like a boy. But I think that changes in Dwarka. Yeah.
Did they all get liberated because Krishna killed them? Because it doesn't seem like Krishna Balaram had anybody else assisting them.
They said they had a small group.
Small group.
They went out there with, even a small group, it could have been a few thousand, but compared to the 23 Akshahini, probably anything would look small. I mean, it's pretty scary thinking about it.
But it mentions, you know, that Krishna kills someone, they're liberated, and the battle of Kurukshetra, it was mentioned that they were liberated because Krishna, and he didn't kill them all personally.
Right.
Yeah. So you think that all that this group too also got the ticket home?
I would think.
Okay. And also, I was...
Although, I mean, they didn't necessarily see him that much because they started firing all this weaponry, and then Krishna is described, he picked up, whether they all saw him, I'm not sure, because he picked up his bow, and Balaram had his, but especially he describes Krishna, and he's putting the arrows in at the speed of mind or something, and then the arrows were just destroying them.
If you calculate how many people had to die in a short amount of time, you could probably get a very large number per second of how many people, you know.
Yeah, but I didn't have a clock.
Calculate.
I was there, but I didn't have the clock.
And I was noticing it in an action drama movie, even if you watch it the second time and you already know who wins, it still gets almost the same emotional response from the person because just the dynamics of the event. So even if people knew that this is Krishna, still the dynamics of this...
It's pretty heavy maya. You're in, like, if you get 23 Akshahinis killed 17 times and you still have enough to come back. But Jarasandha was pretty strong, you know, he kept fighting with, he was a little self-confident because he could, later on he fought with Bheem, and Bheem was like pretty heavy duty, and then neither of them could win until Krishna gave him the hint that, you know, just bifurcate him.
Did he have some kind of benediction? So, I mean, Krishna a lot of times doesn't kill somebody because they're descendant or blood or some different situations or with the one that...
Yeah, I'm not familiar with all the benedictions. Yeah, the benediction, I guess, to get killed by Krishna. I'm sure you open the Garga Samhita or one of those Puranas, the Brahma Vaibhartha, probably, I didn't look it up, but there's always something, backstory. You don't know the backstory to everything? Jarasan? Vipachiti, there's another demon named Vipachiti, and he's like an expansion. But I'm not sure exactly what there's some other, there is something there. But I'm not sure. Anything else? On this side? Okay, glory to my Bhagavatam.